Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
We are continuing in the series I've started last week on the Holy Spirit. We post all of these online, so whether it's Facebook or YouTube, you can go to the Awake Church pages for those and watch any of our services from the past. You can pull up worship, listen to worship all over again. It's such a great thing that we have. Technology nowadays, I like it. All right, so continuing on here, you know, when God came and walked the earth after he had made it and he formed a bunch of dirt together, into the shape of mankind. Then he knelt down in the soil. And instead of speaking something into existence like he'd done with everything else in the universe up to that point, whether it was planets or solar systems or birds or cows or whatever, this was a lot different. He not only came near, but he put his mouth on the face of this creature that had no life and breathed life into them. Came a living spirit, living person, rose up from the ground standing as this human, the first human. And then this first human didn't know what he needed and what he didn't need. God knew all those things. And one of the things that God recognized early on was that it wasn't good for him to be alone, that he needed a companion, right? I share this at nearly every wedding that I officiate. Just the miracle of then God recognizing what man needed and creating something that didn't exist before. The culmination, the pinnacle of all of creation is woman. God's best work saved for last. It's really true. And he brought her to him as one of the names that God said right off the bat was he needed a helper. He needed a helper to be a companion to this guy. And yes, he needed lots of help, as all men do. We need a lot of help. So God knew what he needed, gave him something beyond what he could ever imagine in this woman. And then fast forward several thousand years, and we've got Jesus having, as we've just been singing about, being pierced through, died on the cross for us, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven. And he recognized, God recognized all along that we need something that we don't have, that we don't even know we need. And so Jesus explains this over really several hours. So interesting. John chapter 14, John chapter 15, 16, and 17. Four chapters in the Bible. It's called the farewell discourse. Jesus' farewell message, broken up over four chapters to his followers right before he dies. It's his last day with him. So 33 years on the planet. The book of John records a lot of that, but just hours jammed. There's four chapters on the last hours of what he starts to share. And it's so important what Jesus shares. I want to share some of that. We'll read through some of these passages here from his farewell discourse and him explaining to us, all who follow, how important the helper is, the new helper, that he is given to all of us. So let's turn to John 14, or you can watch up on the screen. We'll start with verse 12. I'm going to skip around. We're not going to read all four chapters. So don't have time for that this morning. And Lord, we just ask right now as we read your spectacular word and the words of your son, that you would highlight, that you would pull off the page, that you would expound and expand your word unto us. Help us to see the beauty of what you've done and fully receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, John 14, 12. Truly, truly, there's emphasis on that. When he says it twice, truly, truly, this is the real deal. all the way. I say to you, he who believes in me, who? The person who believes in him, not just the 11 remaining apostles or adding Paul in, but every person who believes in him, the works that I do, he will do also. That's radical. Jesus has just been doing a lot of things up to this point. And then he says, it's true. It's true, true. If you believe in me, the works that I do, you'll do also. And greater works than these he will do because there's a reason. There's a reason why you're going to do the things that Jesus is doing, that we will do the things that Jesus has done, and even greater things, which I don't even understand what that means. Although I've seen some things that didn't happen in the Bible happen. Perhaps it's some of those type of things. Greater works shall we do because I go to the Father. Because I go to the Father. Isn't that an interesting reason? I'll go to the Father and you'll do everything that I have done and greater things. What is it about going to the Father? Well, he explains that. John chapter 14, verse 16, just a few more verses down. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. So we had woman given to man as a helper in the beginning. We've had Jesus. He's really, I think, here speaking of himself as much as anything. He's been a helper here, but he's going to give us another helper, one that we didn't even know we needed. I'll give you another helper. And that word helper depends what translation you have. Some of your translations may say advocate, may say counselor, may say comforter, may say divine encourager. But it's that parakletos, that Greek word parakletos, which means a bunch of things. You can't just necessarily use one word that explains what this really means, because it means so many different things. It means called to one's aid, comforter, advocate, defender, your intercessor, your counselor, your strengthener, and your standby. But summed up, we're using the word helper here. All of those things. He's going to give him to you that he may be with you, how long? Forever, always. You'll never not have him. And he's not just going to live and be on the earth like Jesus was for 33 years. He's not just going to be here for 50 or 100 first century apostles and then he'll stop doing everything. No, he's going to be with you forever. Forever, the forever gift given by God. That is the Spirit of Truth, one of his other names. This Spirit has many names. And these names speak of part of his role and function and who he is and what he does. He's a Spirit of Truth. There are many lying spirits out there. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him. Because he abides with you, and Jesus is letting him in on a big secret here, he will be in you. He will be in you. I've shared this many times. I'll say it thousands more, I'm sure. Colossians 1 speaks of this in verse 27, 26, that the great mystery of all mysteries is Christ in you, inside of you, the hope of glory, inside of you. So many people, believers, followers of Jesus, don't fully understand, recognize, or even believe that the Spirit of God is living on the inside of me all the time. It's this great mystery, and it is so powerful. And Jesus is talking about what's going to happen here when the Helper moves on the inside of you. And if you were here last week or you watched that, I talked about the different names of the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, as well as the belief that is so important that the enemy tried to steal and has tried to steal for 2,000 years, that he is alive, that he's a person, and that he's actually wants to live on the inside of everyone who will receive him. There are the two ways to receive the Holy Spirit, is to believe in Jesus and receive him. We have to open ourselves up to get him. But he will be in us. So Jesus is saying several things here. One, the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit once he gets back to heaven, which he did. The Holy Spirit is called the Helper. He's going to be with us forever. He's the Spirit of truth, and he's a person. And he lives on the inside of us. Jesus just unpacked a whole lot right there in a couple of sentences. Things that they had maybe heard very little of over time. Joel spoke of there would be a day when the Spirit of God would be poured out, hundreds of years before Jesus came, on all mankind. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will have visions. All of these things will happen. It'll be poured out. Ezekiel chapter 36 starts talking about the Spirit of God will come. But that's about all that they understood until all of a sudden, Jesus isn't talking about this until suddenly his last hours before he's going to be crucified, and he starts unloading things and opening doors to revelation that they've never heard of before. This was all brand new. This explanation, understanding, which was much of it as it would if I were there too, going over their heads. But he would be inside of us, and he would do great things through them and through us. Now, I don't know the devil's posture. Do you think he just followed Jesus around and tried to combat everything Jesus was doing? I have no idea if he was near or far away or what. But if he was nearby when Jesus spoke these words that I just read, I'm certain he cussed. Because he was intent on killing this guy and getting rid of him. And now Jesus just let everybody in on some news. When I go away, something's gonna happen that's even better and greater than me being here. And there's a spirit from heaven that's gonna inhabit the followers of Jesus, and there are gonna be hundreds of millions of Jesuses, in a sense. Not divine God, you know what I'm saying, but filled with the Spirit of Jesus, doing the works of Jesus. The enemy would shudder, which is why he's used so much effort in the church, and much of it, I'm gonna say this, please forgive me, through some Calvinist theology that says the Holy Spirit, he doesn't do anything anymore. The works of the Spirit have died. They stopped. There's not one scripture supporting that. Not one. It's the exact opposite. 25 years later, they're laying hands on people saying, be filled with the Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19. Paul goes into explaining how to use the gifts of the Spirit properly in the church, which we talk about here, and we'll talk some probably next week, Lord willing, about the gifts of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. And the enemy wants you to feel like, no. I'm just here to have good theology, to think good thoughts, to believe that Jesus came and died for me, and I'm going to go to heaven one day. That is the enemy reducing what God has given us to something very small compared to all that he's given to us. Do you realize you and I are here, and all who believe, every single person who believes in Jesus, is supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, baptized in his Spirit, and doing what Jesus did? That's you, that's me. It's not just some special people on TV. It's all of us. We are to be filled with him and fully embrace the Spirit of God. The greatest gift after Jesus came is the Spirit of God. Jesus' Spirit, another word for Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of Jesus, because they're one. Living on the inside of us. Satan hates it. He doesn't want you to believe it. He wants you to feel separate from God. He does not want you to have the realization and the awakening that every day you are a child of God, inhabited by the Spirit of God. Wherever I go, God is going because he's in me. Boy, the enemy hates that. He does not want, he wants you to have a completely different mindset. It's just you praying for mercy that hopefully things will have a good day or something good will happen. And hopefully, I mean, I've heard many people say this, you know, when I get to the pearly gates and St. Peter is there, I don't know where they get all that stuff. Anyway, that my good has outweighed my bad and they'll let me in. Listen, that is craziness. You should be assured of your salvation by faith because of what Jesus has done for you, but also be certain that his Spirit lives inside of me, just as certain. His Spirit lives inside of me. I'm walking around with God. Part of what Jesus did is to restore what was lost at the garden. In the garden, they're walking with God every day, talking, listening, exploring, adventures. I mean, all kind of adventures. How did Adam name fish, by the way? I'm talking, they had some adventures. Probably pre-aqua lung scuba diving. Because he named all these things. Lots of adventures with God. And Jesus came to restore the relationship. When the veil was rent from top to bottom, brand new relationship all over again with God. Not only that, not only have a relationship with him to walk beside him, but he's decided to call my name and my body his new home address. He's moved on the inside. That's not just having some do's and don'ts and laws of life to live by, some good principles to live by. Mm-mm. That's just so limited compared to what you really are. Children of God. Children of God, inhabited by him. Jesus goes on. Chapter 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, what Jesus calls him repeatedly here, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Ah, that's wonderful. So Jesus is expounding on all the things that are going to happen when the Spirit of God moves to the inside of you and you're not just following Jesus around. When he moves to the inside of you, this helper is going to do amazing things. He's not only going to reveal truth. He's not only going to comfort, advise, be an advocate, a defender, but he is going to bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus said. I've often wondered, you read the Bible and you go, my goodness sakes, Matt, especially the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you look at when they were written, it was typically decades after the actual event happened. Yet their stories are so, they're unique, yet they have detail of exact words that are said. And I thought, how did they remember that? I have trouble remembering what I had for breakfast when they wrote this down. Well, here's part of the answer. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The Holy Spirit brought to their minds as they wrote it down the things that they experienced years before. He will teach you all things, he says here. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. He's teaching you throughout the day, if we're allowing, if we're listening, because he speaks, which we'll hear that in a moment. John chapter 15, verse 26. I'm going to read this one in the Amplified. But when the Helper, the Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. He again calls him the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father. He will testify and bear witness about me. He's going to brag on me. He's going to lift me up. You find the Trinity are all preferring one another. They're all preferring one another. Such a great example for us of how we should treat one another. They prefer each other. The Holy Spirit's going to lift up Jesus. He's going to reveal Jesus. He's going to testify about Jesus to us and through us. The Holy Spirit is that evangelist on the inside of you, helping you to share about Jesus. And then Jesus says that he's about to leave and go back to the Father. After he explains this, Holy Spirit's going to come. John 16, verse 7, he said, "But I tell you the truth, yes, I'm going, but it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It's to our advantage. It's hard to imagine it being better in this moment than it was if you were in Israel at the time of Jesus with him, walking around with him. But Jesus says it is. It's to not only their advantage, but our advantage, that we have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, not walking beside us, but living inside us. It's phenomenal. I'm telling you, that revelation, the revelation of God living inside of us, is one of the greatest revelations we can have. Because it's sonship, it's daughtership, it's life fully alive, instead of half-baked or just a partial kind of Christian brand of living. It's him on the inside. John 16, verse 8, Jesus continues, "And he," the Holy Spirit, the person of God, "when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." You know, throughout some of my life, particularly in my 20s, when I would talk to someone about Jesus, I would try to convict them. Have you ever tried to convict someone of their sin? I used to try and do that. Usually it doesn't go very well. And what it can turn into is a control type of thing. Because we are trying to do something, or I was trying to do something, that is the Holy Spirit's role. He's the one who convicts of sin. It doesn't say in the Bible ever, go and convict people. Right? That's not our job. Our job, much of what we get to do, is share the love and the life and the power and the wonder of Jesus and all that he's done for us, and the Holy Spirit follows those words and convicts hearts. He does the convicting, and Jesus is revealing this here. He's the convictor of sin. I can't make someone feel sinful. I can bring shame and condemnation. That's not helpful, but the Holy Spirit can bring conviction that what I'm saying is true, or what the Holy Spirit is saying to them is true. Conviction of righteousness. I believe part of that is that you are right before God because of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus. I'm sure there's also others related to what the Holy Spirit speaks to the world related to the righteousness of Jesus. And judgment, that the enemy has been judged, not each other. That the enemy has been judged, found guilty. And all who have received Jesus have been made righteous. Verse 12, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." You can't bear them now. I've got weightier things to say to you, Jesus is saying, but you don't have the ability to handle what I'm about to say. So I've got to hold off on that. The Holy Spirit will reveal those things to you as you live. "But when he," the Spirit of truth, "comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak." So the Holy Spirit, we see here as well, has a voice. He's a person with a voice. He speaks. He speaks to you from the inside. The prophets of old heard God from the outside. But now that the Holy Spirit moved into the inside of you, he speaks from the inside, and he's connected to every part of who you are. So he can speak in various ways. Sometimes it's a voice, sometimes it's a thought, sometimes it's a scripture that comes to mind, sometimes it's a leading And he leads by peace, the peace of God. He leads us by peace. He's our guide, says here. He will guide you into all truth, but he's a guide into everything to help us live, to where to live, where to work, who to marry. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us in all of those ways. Boy, do we need him. We need him in every area, every way. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Very important. He'll disclose the future. The Holy Spirit does this. Wow, he has a lot of jobs. How we could ever think that we don't need him is beyond me. Oh my goodness, do I need him every day? You and I need him every day. And then Ephesians 5, Paul says we can be filled with him every day. We can be filled with him afresh and anew, all over again. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Not a taking like Jesus doesn't want him to have it. A receiving of all that Jesus has and a giving of those things to us. So he guides into all truth. He's our guide and navigator. He'll share what is to come. He glorifies Jesus, taking the things of Jesus and giving them to us. Amazing. You know, the Holy Spirit's not a force, a feeling, or a symbol. He's the person of God who lives on the inside of you, who wants you to know him, who wants you to talk with him, have fellowship, be so acquainted because he's so close. He wants to know you. Have you ever talked to the Holy Spirit? That is not sacrilegious. To talk, we can speak to Jesus, we can speak to the Father, we can speak to the Holy Spirit, we can listen. How about this scripture? 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship means there's talking going on. There's communication going on. I'm listening, and I'm not just talking. I'm listening to what he says. I'm looking for him. I'm listening for him. I have fellowship with him. God is relational. He's always been relational. His intent in making all of us, starting in the garden with Adam and Eve, was to have fellowship with mankind, to walk with, to have a relationship with us. Why? It's amazing. We got the God of the universe who created everything in places that we've never even seen with our distance telescopes. That big, holds the universe in his hand, according to Isaiah chapter 40. Yet he makes mankind to have fellowship with us, to walk with us. He loves you. He loves me. He wants to fill us, have fellowship with us, so every day is an adventure with him. Every day is getting to know him more, worshiping him, receiving what he has to say, enjoying him. Enjoying God is one of the great privileges of life, to enjoy God. Yesterday, as I've been preparing this week, and typically I have routines. I usually don't get all finished preparing during the week. It ends up turning into Saturday and Sunday morning early. I get up really early on Sundays preparing. But last night, I took a break, decided to go for a walk with my wife, Debbie. And so we take this walk. We're walking on this, actually a golf course. People were done. It was just before dark, so no one was out there. And we're walking, and there's this old church, chapel, with a cemetery attached to it. And there's a new building going up right next to it. So it has this orange plastic construction safety fence. You know what I'm talking about? They put up, it's got a lot of holes in it, but they put it up around construction sites. So that is there. And we walk by this church, and I actually officiated a wedding inside this little chapel once. And I was thinking about that. As we're walking next to the construction fence, I hear this noise, fluttering and moving around like there's an animal. So I look over at the fence, and the orange plastic safety fence had fallen down in one section, and there's something underneath it. So I get closer. There's a bird trapped underneath this fence. So I walked over to it. I rarely ever think to take a picture or a video of something because I'm not a poster. I'm not good at, I don't think that way. I think experience, and then I wish I would have taken a picture of it later, that type of thing. Anyway, so I wasn't thinking about any of that, but I see this bird, and it's a dove. It's a full-grown dove trapped under this safety fence. So I stepped on one side of the fence and lifted up the other side, and this dove, who is cooing and flapping like crazy, trying to get out. And it takes off, and it flies right towards that church. And I walk away, and I was just like, that was really interesting. Lord, what are you saying? Are you saying something here, Lord? And I felt like he said, yeah, I am. That, you know, over time, the church has built a safety fence around the body, around the church, to keep the Holy Spirit out because they're afraid of him. And here he is wanting to come your way, wanting to fill you, wanting to do all these amazing things, and he's trapped in the safety fence, like a false safety. And boy, just letting that thing go and watching him take a beeline right toward that church. I believe the Holy Spirit, so it's from the beginning. It was the Father's desire for thousands of years, Jesus' desire right before he left, to send the Holy Spirit to live within us, to be free, to do what he wants to do. He's the only one that can build the body of Christ. He's the only one that can prepare you and I for the return of Jesus. We can't do it on our own. I cannot prepare myself enough to be ready for Jesus' return. I can't change a nation, let alone myself. But the Holy Spirit does. He is the one with all power. He's the one with all ability. He's the one who desires us to work with him so much that there would be this seamless walking and talking and relationship with him where he moves through us, says things through us, does things through us that are the kind of things Jesus would say and do. That's what the life that we have available, the life that we're invited into, the life that Jesus was trying to share with his disciples, be ready because this is about to happen. And it's a really good thing for you. It's even better than you think. John chapter 20, verse 21. After Jesus had resurrected, he visited his disciples along with 500 other people over the 40 days. But remember, right after the resurrection, the disciples were afraid for their own lives. So they were hiding in a room. I'm sure they were talking, probably praying some, and scared. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears. Now, I've often said that he walked through the wall. He may not have walked through the wall. He may have just transported and just appeared in that room. Or he walked through the wall, however he did it, or the ceiling, or the floor. Wherever he came in, he arrives, and it scares them even more than they're already scared. Because he says, peace to you, and then he repeats himself. Verse 21, Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you. So if Jesus is usually telling you something, that's because you need it at that moment, right? Peace to you, and he told them, just as the Father has sent me, I'm now sending you. I came to the earth to do all kind of stuff. Now I'm sending you into the earth to do a lot of stuff. And I've already talked about what is going to happen when the Spirit comes. Then he says, then verse 22, taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them. I bet he had good breath. I need a mint. I don't think Jesus did. But he breathes on them. And he says for them to do something. And it's simply receive. Receive. You don't have to work this up. You don't have to try hard. You don't have to be in a certain place of spirituality. He said, I'm going to take a deep breath. Here's what I'd like you to do is receive. As he breathes on them, they receive. And of course, we know a few weeks later, Pentecost came when the Holy Spirit came in even more amazing ways. Oftentimes, you know, because of my role here at church, I lead, I am up here on the stage. When we're in small places with other people and it's just my wife and I with people, usually I get asked all the questions. My wife doesn't get asked as much. In reality, she's behind the scenes, right? And she helped raise more than I did all five boys. She was up through the night more than I was. She was giving a lot of wisdom and direction more than I did. She's a better communicator than I am. She's an amazing person, filled with the Spirit, an amazing person. And I often think, I wish people would want to know her as much as they'd like to know me, because she's more amazing than I am. And I often feel that the Trinity is similar, that we all talk about, which is not bad at all. We need to keep talking about Jesus forever and the Father. But the Holy Spirit is this behind-the-scenes person but has the power and is the one living on the inside doing the work, that we should want to and get to and pursue getting to know him. Because it's through him that all that Jesus wants us to do will be done. And he wants to be known. He wants to be known. You can wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you want to do today? What do you want to do in me? What would you like me to do today? What are you thinking about? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What's your desire? What's your will? What's your plan? Because he's the Spirit of God living inside of us. In the words of the angel said to Zechariah, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. That is how things will happen, is by the Spirit of God, who lives inside of us. He's in us. He wants to do incredible things. Can we pray for each other and receive? I'm not going to blow on you, but you can take a deep breath and receive of the Spirit. Can we do this? Can we stand if that's okay with you? And let's, if you're near someone and they allow you to touch their shoulder, unless they look at you like, don't touch me, then don't. And let's just, you know, that oftentimes, and you find it in Acts chapter 19 when Paul is traveling and he finds people who weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. They hadn't had that second experience after salvation with the Spirit of God. He says they laid their hands on them and then they received the Holy Spirit. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so let's just pray and open up ourselves, as Jesus said to his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. So if we can receive all as much as we want to have of him. As much, there's no limit. We can receive the Holy Spirit. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then receive your baptism in him, which is that overflowing amount of the Spirit of God. If I had a bottle of water right now, it's full of water. But if I squeeze it, it comes out. And there's a baptism that of the Spirit where Jesus said in John chapter 7, rivers of living water start pouring out of you. Rivers of living water start pouring out of you. That's that baptism in him. And he can do that in this very moment. He can refill you if you feel empty or low, as I have felt many times in the Spirit. You can get filled all the way back up with him. So let's just maybe close your eyes as you're touching someone else. Receive for yourself, but also ask the Holy Spirit to move through your hands into the shoulder and into the body of the person next to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending the Spirit of truth, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the guide, the Spirit of truth, the one who does what we cannot do. We receive you today. We receive a new infilling of you. We receive a baptism of you. We receive all that you have to give to us today. We open up our spirit. We take the lock off our spirit man, off of our heart. We unlock it and open the door to you. and say, Holy Spirit, come on in. We receive you. Maybe take a deep breath. Just breathe him in. Breathe in the breath of Jesus blowing on you, which is his spirit. We receive, even right now, in our spirit, from toe to the top of our head, filled with the Spirit of God, the great mystery of all time, that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, the Spirit of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we also know that you, by your Spirit, give us power to be witnesses of you. You give us power over sin that you've already defeated, but by your Spirit on the inside of us, giving life to our mortal bodies, we are not bound to sin any longer. We can live free like that bird, completely free. And we also, at this moment, as we're receiving you, Holy Spirit, and thinking about you, we want you to be free in this place, free in this church, free in our lives, free in our families, free to fly in our homes, free to fly while we're driving, free in our spirit man, free in our minds. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. We trust you, the great gift of heaven, waited for thousands of years to come to earth, and we have the privilege of possessing you, having you in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being in me. Fill me to overflowing. Whatever I'm lacking, would you fill me up with yourself? In Jesus' name, we receive you to the full. And we give you away also as we're touching our neighbor, our friend, or our spouse, whoever's next to us. We ask, Lord, that you'd fill them to overflowing. Fill them to overflowing. Do not be drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for your works to be done through us. Just as you said, truly, truly, these things would happen if we are following you, believing you, and your Spirit lives inside of us. We ask for miracles. We ask for healing. We ask for salvations to come through us. Lord, we ask for words of knowledge. Lord, we ask for prophetic utterances that would be life-giving and encouraging and uplifting. Lord, we ask for all that you have, Holy Spirit. And thank you for displacing every fear. Every fear in our life gone in Jesus' name. Even fear of what we might get by opening ourselves up to you. We throw that fear away and we receive you because you are such a great, good, wonderful God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As our Father, you said, I want my children to have my Spirit. I want my children to have my Spirit, to be filled up with him. He'd be with them wherever they would go. Lord, I ask by your Spirit that you would guide us into all truth, every single one. Everything in our minds right now that is not truth, would you displace it? Just displace it. Displace it with your truth. Every lie that we have believed, we break the power of it right now and receive your truth in that spot. We receive you in our spirit man all of the way. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you today. We bless you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 How about an infilling, right? Yeah. Come on. We're meant to live full of him. We're meant to live full of him. I tell you, you know, I'll one day maybe write a small little booklet on secrets to living. And this is one of them. Honestly, I do this. I even have a little bathroom in my office, by the way. And you can do this wherever you are. If you feel empty, take a bathroom break. Go in there, close the stall door, and get filled back up with the Spirit of God. Take a walk outside. Take a little walk and just get filled back up. It's one of the secrets to life is staying full of the Spirit. Because everything's pulling on you. Everything's pulling on you and trying to suck the life out of you. But we can stay full of him. Repeated infillings of his Spirit. Just asking him, receiving him. That's all Jesus said. Just receive him. We can have that.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.